talked to a preacher friend of mine today. He's, Lord willing, he's going to be here next Sunday night to preach for us. So we'd like for you to be praying for him. Jason Morgan, some of you know who Brother Jason is. But he's going to be here to preach for us. But he was in Jacksonville running down the road when I called him. He's been exercising. Y'all might not recognize him when you see him. But as I begin to talk to him, working away from home, things on his heart and mind, needs grace. You know, and I got a question here, and I begin to think about this, and I got a couple of songs. That's why Amazing Grace was on my heart tonight. But who understands grace? You think about it. A person who needs grace. I heard a story of a man. He was a Christian, and it was at his funeral, and they got up and they talked about grace, and a person mentioned this was a man that really needs grace. What makes him any different than us? Who understands grace, who appreciates grace? It's a person who needs grace. And I need God's grace in my life. Sometimes, you know, we get to talking about the children and what the children do. The children need grace. And I may have mentioned this story here once before. If I did, it's on my heart. I'll mention it again. But when Kendra and I had first gotten married, we hadn't been married long, but first few jobs she had, she worked in a daycare center there close to the house. And she has a way of bringing these children home. You wonder, how in the world do you get them to go home with you? Well, let me tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people out there who want to give them to you. And she worked in a Christian daycare, a secular, regular daycare center, and she brought several of them home. And she brought this little boy and little girl home, and these children had been mistreated by their mom and daddy. And their names was Dana and Johnny. And the little boy, I called him Johnny Reb. I made friends with him. But the entire time that we had that little girl, we probably kept them 2 months because they were being grazed by their grandmother, and to be honest with you, she couldn't take care of them. They would have just about given them to us. The entire time we kept those children, that little girl never let me get anywhere near her. And you can just imagine what kind of life she had. So he was 3 and she was 5. And she was very, very timid. But I'd never had any kids. I didn't know what to do with them. But I'll tell you, that little girl, she was just, didn't move unless Kendra was with her. But that little boy, he liked to tore our house down. And I can remember trying to get him under control. And God spoke to me. And he said, if you were as good a Christian as you want them children to be kids, you'd have it figured out. And I realized little kids need grace. Big kids need grace. Let me tell you, I know those teenagers are rough, but they need grace. They're not going to be like that long. I mean, it seems like eternity when they're going through those years. But I can remember my daughter from 7th grade till she was out on her own. It was terror. Now she thinks I'm the greatest. She thinks I'm the king daddy. And my wife can't figure it out because my wife's the one that took her to the soccer games and took her to the volleyball games and did set up till 11 o'clock at night waiting on her. And I didn't think she was listening to anything I said. But that'll pass. And they need grace. Now, I want to give you just a few thoughts tonight. Number one, why do we need grace? Because we live in a house of clay. You have not got your glorified body yet. You have not reached perfection yet. And you might be a good spiritual Christian, but you're going to have some battles. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Sometimes the things that you want to do, and I mentioned something here Sunday night, and this is what I said. I said something about convictions. And I said, if your convictions are not growing, you're not growing in your relationship with God. I'm not trying to lay anything on anybody. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. When I look at Paul's life, the one who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, the one who wrote Corinthians and Galatians and these books that I read out of all the time, that he teaches us what grace is. That's a man that understands what grace was, because he was a man that persecuted the church like these people who have these two Japanese soldiers. If you don't deny the Lord, we don't have any idea the depths. But when you begin to read about what Paul did and the things that he was involved in, the more you read his word, you find that the closer he gets to God, the farther he feels like he is. That's why he says, "O wretched man that I am," and I'm going to read that for you in a minute. He says, "I'm the Lord's prisoner," and he says, "I'm the least of the least." Because when you begin to see the holiness of God, it's hard to look at yourself. See, I need grace because I'm not perfect. Paul said this. He just said, "I desire not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon." What he wanted, what he desired, was his perfect body and his perfect life before the Lord. I got this little thing on my computer at work that says the goal is perfection. It's about that long, about that high. You know, the truth is sometimes when we come in and we hear preaching and we're trying to do what God wants us to do, sometimes the responsibility seems overwhelming. To always have the right answer, to always do the right thing. I want to tell you this. Now, this is the truth. I was coming to church tonight and I got right down here to the red light. And somebody come up behind me in a big truck, and they got over just enough that they could put that big light on bright right in my mirror. And I'm sitting there, and I can't see, and I'm doing this. Well, I reached down, and I just turned the mirror. And I turned it where it wouldn't hit me. And I hate to admit this, but I reached over again, and I turned it a little more, hoping it hit them. And I turned on this road over here, and I headed toward this church. And you know what the first thing hit my mind? Now, what are you going to do if they follow you to church? And they say, "You shine, you." And I didn't, you know, I can say, "Oh, I'm just getting that light out of my eyes." But the truth is, I was trying to get it in theirs. And God, I want to tell you, God smote me. And this, you say, "Well, that's a little thing." Let me tell you, unto whomsoever much is given, much is required. And the truth is, we've not reached perfection yet. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived yet. And I'm in a house of flesh. And I'm not there. And I need grace. See, I want to read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. I'm going to try to preach on this before long because it's all over my heart. But I want to give you just a part of it. To where Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Let me tell you what the scripture says. Now, I want you to realize God had just showed him something. God allowed Paul to see something that was amazing. And he allowed him to experience things that were amazing. That's why he was able to write the things that he wrote with such confidence. He knew that this was not the end. And let me tell you, when God begins to bless you and God begins to bless your church and your life and you're living a great life and things are going well, don't forget. This is what the Lord did to Paul. Paul wrote, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." I could stay right here for 30 minutes. But here's the point, and I begin to look at this, and this is where you have to be careful. God blessed this man. God lifted him up. God gave him visions. But we read last Sunday night, number one thing that God hates is a proud look. And where we have to be careful as Christians is we don't get exalted in what God has done for us. We don't get exalted in that we're not like the people down the street. We don't get exalted in ourselves. I heard a man get in a pulpit one time, and he was ridiculing other churches and the way they sang and the way people sang. And he mentioned a preacher. And I sat there and I listened and I was amazed. He said, "We've invited this preacher to come." And I went over and I listened to him, and this is what it is. He said he preached some little old something. Almost like, "Well, he's coming, but y'all don't expect much." Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." You know, just about the time you think you got it figured out, guess what? You realize you're really not any better than the one you've been criticizing. Now, sometimes God allows things to come in our way so he can show us, just be careful, big boy. Because as long as you're walking in your own strength and your own ability and your own pride and doing your own thing, God's not being exalted. You're exalting yourself. He said, "But when you get to the end of yourself, my grace is sufficient. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness." That's when God does his work. So number one, we need grace because we live in a house of clay. Number two, and I've already touched on this, but we fail. We stumble. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we don't do exactly everything we're supposed to do. In Romans, and I don't have time to read all the scripture tonight, but in Romans chapter number 7, verse 14 through verse number 25, here's what Paul's basically saying. He said, "I want to do what's right. But sometimes the things I want to do, I can't do. And the things I don't want to do, those are the things that I find myself doing." I'm going to flip over and I'm going to read you the closing part of that scripture, because I want you to see victory is in Jesus. Our victory is in the Lord. What we have and the strength that we have, it's not in us. And that's why we have to be careful that we don't exalt ourselves. But we all need God's grace. In Romans chapter 7, in verse number 24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And you know, sometimes people say, "Well, that's not me." But I want to tell you, I can remember I got saved when I was 12, but by the time I was 18, God started really working on me. And I'd go into church, and back, I want to tell you, at 18 years old, I wore the revivals out. And I'd go into a revival, and God would get to working on me when the altar call comes, and I'd go pray. You know what people do? That maybe this is just the devil, but I'd say, they're looking at me. They wonder what I've done. They wonder if I've saved. One time I went to a little church up in the mountains just to go visit, because we lived up there, and I was tired of driving 80 miles to church from LJ to Douglasville. And I went in a church, and this man did his best to come back. He came right to me, sat down by me, trying to convince me I was lost. And I said, "Brother, I'm saved. I just wanted to come see what y'all about." He said, "You sure?" He kept on. I said, "This guy don't have no discernment." But you know, I'll tell you, it went on in my life that God was dealing with me, and this is an agreement I made with the Lord. I said, "Lord, I want you to work in my life. If every time I go into church, you want me to go down and pray, I'm going to go pray. Because I want you to be honored in my life." You know why? Because I'd made this kind of a commitment. You know, the Bible says it's best not to make a vow unto the Lord than to make one and break it. But if you ever come down and prayed and say, "God, if you'll just help me, if you'll just forgive me, if you'll just, Lord, restore me, God, I promise you, I'll never do it again." I used to do that, but I don't anymore. Because I found that in myself, I can't do it. And I'd make a promise to God, I'd promise the Lord, and then what? I'd fail. You see, we're going to stumble, but here's the point. When you stumble, be humble. See, in James chapter 4, verse 6, says, "But he giveth more grace. I like that. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So when you stumble, be humble. And here's the last one. Why do we need grace? Because we are always learning. Do you know that it doesn't matter? You can live, folk, you can live to be 100 years old. You're going to be learning. You know why? Because you're not going to reach perfection until you get your new body. And I like this verse. This is a verse. It's one of them that I wrote down in that little pad. I used to have this little notepad about this big, and I carried it in my pocket all the time. I carried it to work, and I wrote verses in it. Because I wanted to quote scripture like Wayne Daniels. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, he knows who I'm talking about. That man would get up and preach, and he'd quote 50 verses. And I said, I want to be able to, I want that. You can't do it if you don't read the word. And I started writing words in my little notebook, and I carried it in my pocket, and this was one that was the first ones that was dear to my heart. It's in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, and then this word is very important, teaching. Teaching, that's yesterday, that's today, that's tomorrow. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's God's grace teaching us every day. That's sometimes, and this, you know, you can sometimes do more by listening to God than just a knee-jerk reaction. I can remember one time I was in a Sunday school class, and I was like little Johnny. I mean, I knocked a Christmas tree over one time on a lady down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church, and her husband come by, and he grumbled like a lurch. He went, oh, like that, and shook his head and looked at me, and I saw him, but that was me. Same, his wife was my Sunday school teacher. We was in class, and we were painting, and we had model car paint. You know, that stuff don't come off. And we had a silver bottle, and I was jumping around, and I knocked it over, and it went up where I grabbed a rag. I was going to wipe it up immediately. She stopped me. She didn't scream. And I remember it to this day, what she said. She said, it's okay. It puddled up. Let's use some of it before we get it up. You see, sometimes if you'll have grace, you'll help somebody. See, I need grace because I don't always get it right. Then in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now here's the point. We have a God that came, left the portals of glory, took upon himself a body like mine and yours, flesh, and he walked on this earth without sin, and he suffered and experienced things that we couldn't experience. So that when he stands before the Lord, scripture says right before that, says we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So he experienced it, he suffered it. So when I come to him and I have a need, over in the 103rd Psalm, I love that verse, it says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I've needed God's grace. I need it now. And the great thing about it, when you need it, it's there. Amen? Amen. I hope something I said was a blessing to you tonight or a help to you.